about that, too. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show, Dr. Sadler, Jim Sadler, pediatrician in the Los Angeles area, is with us, talking at the outset here about a strange occurrence over the last few days. In Edmonton, Alberta, a 13-month-old baby wearing only a diaper wandered out into sub-zero temperatures and was almost frozen to death, but for the great work of the doctors at the emergency ward where she was taken, and she's fine now. And then in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, a 2-year-old boy hospitalized, also found unconscious outside the home in frigid cold temperatures. Dr. Jim Sadler's a pediatrician. And Jim, how are you?
Really good, Phil. Having a hard time hearing you. I'm in the middle of traffic right now, but I did want to weigh in because some of the literature on diapers, a lot of the things that we talked about at where we have a family diaper service, seems to bear out.
What is the, you're talking about plastic diapers may have played a role in babies trying to cool them. Are you saying these children are trying to cool themselves off?
It's possible, and I have been on the lecture circuit for about the last eight months, talking to mothers' groups, talking to doctors. The plastic diaper does not breathe. There is no way for air to get in. The synthetic plastic diaper is very earth unfriendly. I'm amazed that this information has come out. And
so, in theory, what happened to these two babies going out into sub-zero temperatures and almost freezing to death is that they were hot?
I think that what happens is that a lot of mothers, especially modern mothers, who are now relying on the propaganda from the plastic diaper industry, and you know the brand names, Huggies and Loves and Pampers, they rely on this disposable aspect. They rely upon this ease of application aspect, and they forget that their children can get warm. And I believe there is some kind of, the colloquial phrase is ass sweat or rear end sweat, that they begin to sweat and the heat is too much for them. They try to get outside and to throw the diaper off. Rubbing it in, and this is...
All right, just to be clear, Dr. Sadler, the kids are going outside trying to get out of these diapers.
They're trying to get some cold air. I don't think they recognize at that age what is really causing the problem, but they're trying to get some air. They're trying to cool down as a result of these very restrictive, very hot, very encasing plastic diapers that, very sadly, a lot of the mothers are relying on these days.
Now, well, there was a time when mothers used cloth diapers, but they became very unwieldy, right?
Well, we see this still in our own business. In addition to taking care of some 300 to 400 families at a clinic here in the San Fernando Valley area of Los Angeles, we have a family diaper service where we wash the launder diapers. We have a wonderful service where we press the diaper. Our business has fallen like a rock since the advent of the plastic diaper. And there are days where you can literally stand there and nobody brings in diapers to be laundered.
I'm sorry, you said this was a family business?
This is a family business operated by my brother-in-law and my sister, and it's one that I've got some financial interest in. And it disturbs me very much that women are not getting the message. Plastic diapers, your children's, they're sweating, it's too hot for them. As a result, they don't get air up into the area. And also, they want to get out and get the diaper off. I think that could have happened in the middle of the night.
All right, we're talking to Dr. Jim Sadler, a pediatrician, who believes that the two children that wandered out into the snow and almost froze to death were wearing some kind of a plastic diaper that did not allow for any cold air, and they were looking to cool off.
They're looking, to put it simply, looking to cool off. And I indict, in my personal opinion, is it's the plastic, it's the Gestapo tactics of Huggies and these... plastic diaper business And it,
well, what do you mean the Gestapo tactics?
I think they've muscled people such as my own family out of the diaper service business. And the Nazi, and I'll say it again, Phil.
I think you're being extreme.
No, I will say it again. The Nazi Gestapo tactics of the plastic diaper business and the lazy mothers that are using these plastic diapers, I think more than anything else in Dyson Cosme.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. We're talking to Dr. Jim Sadler about plastic diapers, Pampers, Huggies, Loves, and the fact that they are restrictive, they don't breathe, there's not enough cold air getting through these things. If it's possible that these babies that are almost freezing to death out in the snow are just looking to get some cold air or looking to get some cool air. You referred to mothers who use Pampers, Huggies, Loves, these kinds of things, as lazy. And
I really believe it, Phil. And
you know that these are women that love their children, and they are looking for convenience in a very fast world. And
you have diaper services that have been around. Our family diaper service has been around since 1975. We launder, we starch, we do disinfecting. There is antibacterial treatment of all of the fabric. It is folded and delivered back to the customer. Our rate, we feel, is very competitive. And yet we don't have, and this is a business my family's been in for years, the diaper business. And because of the plastic diapers, what am I supposed to do? I'm standing around looking stupid because of the Gestapo tactics.
And you have used the terms like Gestapo tactics and the Nazi Gestapo tactics of the plastic diaper business. And that is to say what?
That is to say that they have muscled the honest diaper service people out. And now you've got kids running out and throwing themselves into the snow to try to get some relief from sweat.
You called it ass sweat, and I'd rather we not say that.
All right, but there is this significant perspiration in the area and up the crack. You know, to me, the children are looking for relief.
So a kid goes into the snow to get relief from how hot the plastic diaper is.
Right, and almost freezes to death.
All right, but this is your opinion, because we have no idea why these children went out. What's the positive? You're a pediatrician.
So it's a natural instinct. It's a survival instinct for children to save the very skin on their rear ends. I think that's why we have the saying.
But you're a doctor, okay? Couldn't it be that a baby wakes up in the middle of the night, is not restrained by a crib cage or whatever, opens a door and walks outside?
Why? Babies are survive. Why doesn't the baby just walk into a bonfire? You don't see babies doing that. You don't see babies stepping into some kind of a press drill or stepping into a wine press. When's the last time you saw a child crawl into a wine press? And wait for the...
Crawl into a what?
A wine press.
The thing that they crush grapes with?
Right.
I've never seen a child...
Well, then it's stupid to assume that they would go outside. When you take a plastic diaper off of a child, the area covered looks like a pink raisin, dried up, pruny. It's very infected.
All right, Dr. Jim Sadler, pediatrician on plastic diapers possibly being the cause of children wandering into the snow and almost freezing to death. One instance in Canada, the other in Wisconsin. 1-800-449-8686. Reggie on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Good evening. I think the doctor's theory is ridiculous. If a child has on a diaper that's irritating, it's too hot, too tight.
By the plastic diaper.
Excuse me, doctor.
You understand what I mean by plastic diaper.
Yes, I do. Pampers, that's ones I'm familiar with. The child would try to pull the diaper off. The child would tear at the diaper. The child would break through the diaper.
But could I ask you your experience at this?
Yes, I have five children.
All right. And you live in where?
I live in Colorado.
All right. Well, that's not Canada.
Well, but doctor, the fact is we have cold weather, too. And you're least qualified to talk about it in California. I mean, what kind of cold weather
do you experience? Well, let me ask you, are you familiar with Pampers?
I am.
Has been doing the job of brainwashing young parents such as yourself for years.
Oh, doctor, please. No one's brainwashing these words you use, these phrases. Nazi Gestapo tactics.
The Gestapo tactics are the...
Why are you saying Gestapo?
Because They have brainwashed parents, mothers, into believing that the only way they can live is with a plastic diaper.
Doctor, you have a financial interest in this, and it shows
That's true.
My family has had a diaper service for almost 25 years.
Well, you bought it the wrong time, Doctor, because cotton diapers probably went out just when you bought.
Let me ask you a question. Do your children wear the Pampa?
They're all out of them, thank goodness.
Well, but did they?
Yes, they did.
All right, so you tortured your children. For what reason? For convenience?
Oh, Doctor, you're using these terms you use, Doctor.
No, I'm asking
my children wore Pampers, and in particular, my youngest son, if the diaper was uncomfortable, if it were too hot, he'd pull them off.
The concentration and camp tactics.
For you to say that a child, that the parents are lazy, the parents, yes, they were lazy and trifling for not watching their kids getting out the door, but certainly not because they wore Pampers, Doctor.
Well, I have to tell you.
You haven't answered this man's point about...
I was going to say, with adhesive closures, kids can't get them off.
That's not true, Doctor. That's simply not true.
They have adhesive closures. They run into the night to pull them off of their rear ends.
Doctor.
They rub up against trees, whatever they can do.
Let me ask you, is there any evidence...
It is possible, through some of the tracks in the snow, that the child literally got on his rear end and tried to rub them off on a driveway.
I'm sorry, were you asking me?
No, I'm making the comment to you that it's possible these children literally, in the cold of the night, and imagine this, sat down on a driveway and tried to rub them off on the asphalt.
Oh, Doctor, you don't know that.
Well, it's possible.
It's also possible that pigs can fly.
Well, okay, who's the doctor here?
And who's the guy who's got a financial interest in a diaper service?
Have you ever seen one of your children try to rub his diaper off on an asphalt driveway?
Have you?
I've never seen one of your children do it, but I have seen children do it, yes, sir.
Have you seen children try to sit in a driveway and rip their diapers off?
Yes, I have, sadly.
Oh, Doctor.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. Dr. Jim Sadler has joined us from the San Fernando Valley. It is his opinion that it's possible his children are freezing out in the snow because they're going outside to get some air. They can't stand wearing these plastic Pamper diapers, Huggy diapers, Love diapers, whatever other brand. I don't know that these children were even wearing those brands of diapers. But that if mothers are using these diapers, they're the victims of propagandizing and too lazy to use cloth diapers. Once again, keep in mind that his family has had a financial interest in a diaper service since 1975. And he says the business has dropped like a rock. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show. Back to Dr. Jim Sadler, pediatrician, who believes that one of the reasons why these children are freezing out in the cold, wandering out into the cold, is because their Pampers or their Huggies are too hot, and they're trying to literally scrape them off of their rear ends. And you say it's because they are restrictive.
Well, and Phil, keep in mind the plastic diaper is... it is not ecologic. It clogs landfills. It is very earth-unfriendly. The plastic diaper doesn't... breathe. I have been on lecture circuits, very much in favor of returning to the cloth diaper. And you can say anything you want. You and your listeners can say anything you want. You can, abuse me. And
we're not abusing you, Doctor.
I can tell there's a certain attitude. My family had a successful cloth diaper business. And just for a moment, if you could imagine cleaning doo-doo out of a,
Okay, I know what you're saying. A baby's...
The baby doo. And that is humiliating. I saw my mother do it. I saw my father do it. I got out of it. I became a doctor. But I go back every now and again, and I look at my brother-in-law scrubbing somebody's kid's underwear, and I want to hurt someone. I want to hurt someone.
All right, so you're angry, and that's what I'm thinking here is maybe at the bottom line that a business was lost. Here is Jesus in Tucson. Jesus?
Yes, I am.
You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Yes, I just want to make a comment. Yeah, I live in Tucson, Arizona, and it gets pretty hot down here.
Right.
But you don't go seeing babies, you know, going out to their driveways trying to scrape these their diapers off, man. That's ridiculous.
In Tucson, Arizona, 19, are you familiar with the Todd Brenninger case?
Excuse me?
Todd Lee Brenninger, he was a three-year-old.
No, I'm not.
All right, in Tucson, he was rubbing a diaper on a tree. And you're saying that you don't see babies running outside?
No, I don't. Not trying to scrape their diapers off. I have two children of my own.
Have you seen?
And we've used diapers on them, and they've never, you know, complained about or even try to, you know, go on rubbing their diapers off on the driveway.
You haven't seen any of your children try to rub a diaper
off
the driveway?
No, I haven't. And it gets pretty hot down here, believe me.
I would imagine in Arizona.
In Arizona, you do usually find babies in pools trying to cool off, though, don't you?
Well, there's a lot of pools in here in Arizona.
Yes.
I mean,
you have public pools there, and I'm sure where you live, there is either a community pool or your own pool, correct?
Of course. I mean, that's how we cool out here in Arizona.
Exactly. One of the situations that we find, Phil, our babies, regrettably, three babies in the last 4 years in the state of Arizona face down in a pool.
Well, you're finding kids drowning in pools all the time. Children drown in pools if they're not watched.
I believe it's they're trying to get cooled off.
Exactly.
What?
Now we have a law here that requires a fence around a pool. I mean, if you get caught.
Got the same law in California.
But you never have you seen babies running outside in diapers?
Yes, I have.
All right,
but never trying to pull them off.
That's step.
I mean, I just think it's absurd that you know you would say that.
I think, sir, I don't know you, and I'm sure you're a fine father, but I find it hard to believe that after seeing a baby sprint outside, you never saw one try to pull a diaper off.
Not at all. No, I don't think so.
Why would he lie?
I think he's protecting himself.
No, not at all.
Whatever. No. Okay. Hey, Seuss, thank you.
Thank you
for your call.
Much.
All right. Judy, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello?
Judy. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, this is Judy.
Yes, Judy, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
I think that this doctor, personally, I think he's a quack. I don't think he knows what he's talking about.
I have practiced in the pediatrical forum for 31 years.
Well, I feel sorry for the kids that you're handling.
Oh, I see. I'm trying to save the lives of children. How dare you?
Yeah, how
are
dare you?
Are you a mother?
How dare you?
What do you know about children? Are you a mother?
Yes, I am.
Of how many children?
Five.
Oh, and I suppose you're going to tell me not one of them ran outside and tried to strip the diaper off.
No, they didn't. They wore cotton diapers. Hey, Sadler. They wore cotton diapers, but they also wore rubber pants on top of that because that was the thing that everybody did.
Oh, that's
people. What do you call those people?
So sick.
Excuse me,
what
sir.
Are you
if
is,
you don't mind
no,
giving
she puts
me the opportunity.
The rubber panties. I hate that.
Go ahead,
well,
Judy.
Well, you hate a lot of things.
Well, it's very ill.
Yeah, you hate a lot of things that are cutting into your financial pocket there, right?
I think this is what we're talking.
Go ahead, make your point.
My point is, I do not believe that you have any other concern in your mind other than your pocketbook.
I think
if you were selling something else, even if you were selling the plastic diapers, you'd be touting them and you would be against the cotton ones.
No, that's not true, and I'll tell you why. We are in the diaper service business because we want to save our planet. Every time you pulled one of those plastic rubber panties off one of your kids and threw it into the garbage, that murdered a seagull. That is the kind of Gestapo seagull murdering tactics that the Nazi pamper, you know.
Where are they throwing those diapers if the seagulls are getting them?
You threw it in your garbage, goes to a landfill.
I didn't throw anything in my garbage, honey.
What are you doing with the rubber pants?
I had cotton. You weren't paying attention.
I'm saying the rubber.
But
you said you slipped rubber pants on over that.
That's right.
So what'd you do with those?
They wore out like anything does. What do you do when you buy plastic things around the bottle?
Well, maybe it's something
you're... What do you do with those? Do you buy anything made out of plastic?
Maybe your husband slipped them on late at night.
What?
Hey,
no.
Sadler.
Yeah?
Sadler.
Yeah?
Why don't you...
It's Dr. Sadler.
Why don't you hold
you
your
much.
Thoughts for a moment and give someone else
right.
a chance to speak?
Let Judy finish.
It's Dr. Sadler. I will have you know.
Go ahead, Judy. Go ahead.
I don't know that. I haven't seen your credentials. All I hear is
rubber,
your lip service.
Those rubber panties you pulled off of yourself and put them on your kids. Did you ever...
Just finish, Judy, what you wanted to say. Go ahead.
All I want to say is that this man is a quack. I think he's a nut. It was worth me
to
spend the extra money on the phone call and my car phone
on your kids.
Just to say that to him.
All right, thank you. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show with Dr. Jim Sadler. Just a few more minutes with him as we're talking or trying to get through some of the theory concerning the injury to two infants, one in Canada, one in Wisconsin, having to do with the cold. Now, these are babies that one was, I believe, 13 months, the other 2 years, wandered out into the cold and almost froze to death. Both of them are alive. One, the two-year-old boy, though, is in serious condition, I think. And your basic premise here has to do with plastic diapers, that they don't breathe, that they're too hot, and that the kids go outside to try to rub them up.
Look, Phil, you can say what you want. You've got instances, one instance in Manitoba, Canada, 1986, where a 8-month-old crawled outside, and tried to rub his diaper off on the bark of a tree. In another instance...
How hot was it? How cold was it?
I think it was like 60 below. Now, how could a baby want to go outside in 60 below weather? But they call me nuts. Now,
there have been people saying that you have a financial interest in running Pampers and Huggies out of business because your family's been in a diaper service business, because you launder diapers.
That's right. And they call me nuts because they hate the diaper service business. They've always hated it. And they want to push us out of business with these concentration camp Gestapo.
All right, you're really doing a disservice to a lot of people who survived the Holocaust by comparing the business tactics of Pampers to the Gestapo, okay?
Well, you're telling me. I lived it. I lived the horror every night, hearing my wife go to sleep crying after being brutalized by the Huggies rep.
And what do you mean?
The fact that they sold more, and we...
Were they brutalized by the Huggies rep or not?
They were not, but they were...
Okay, then don't say that if it didn't happen.
But he came to our business and said, ha, ha, we're selling diapers, ha, ha, ha. And then he left like that, on his lunch hour, to hear your wife cry herself to sleep after scrubbing some kid's crap out of a diaper all day long. Let me tell you something, my friend.
I'm not saying that...
It just hurt.
All right, I'm not minimizing that. 1-800-449-8686. Eric on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Yes, sir.
Doctor, these children, and they're in...
Are you a father? Are you a father?
Probably, yes. Father, too.
Yes.
And my question is, what I noticed from my children is that when they were little, from the very get-go, if they didn't like something, they cried about it. They cried quite loudly to get our attention.
At 3 o'clock in the morning, how do you know? They're outside before you're awake.
Okay, my point is, at what point does the child wake up and go, you know what, I'm not going to cry. I'm not going to wake my parent up who's sleeping next to me. I'm just going to take care of this myself.
Well, we do believe there's somnambulism and narcolepsy involved, and that is the central nervous system. The central nervous system sort of takes over autonomically.
What are you talking about, sleepwalking?
We believe there could be some sleepwalking. The child is dreaming, literally, that his rear end is burning up, and he has to crawl out of the crib. Imagine.
So he stops thinking and says, you know what, I'm going to go take care of this by getting out and going outside in the Arctic weather instead of crawling like an infant would do so his parent would wake up. This child stopped thinking as a child?
No, the child is now a somnambulatic state has taken over, overtaken by the
subconscious. Still, he's a child. If the child is even in any type of state, and there's a severe embolism, self-survival.
The man's saying that the kid is going to cry first, and...
When the subconscious... He might not want to wake anybody. I don't know.
What do you mean he doesn't want to wake?
You don't know.
Since when does it...
No, at all. This is a child.
I have
his first instinct for survival was to cry out for his parents.
Oh, so how many diapers have you scrubbed out?
You know what? Another thing. If your family doesn't like scrubbing diapers, get a new industry. Come on. Change jobs. You did it.
That's exactly correct. You went into the pediatric business. Why doesn't your family...
My wife cried herself to sleep when I was in medical school, scrubbing out some kids... Dirty, filthy ass rap.
Okay, so if you're not doing it now, you feel so loving, give your family jobs.
Yeah, get...
If you've got a business going...
Oh, who's laughing? Is that Mr. Henry laughing?
Yes, that was funny. Give your family... Close down the diaper business and hire them all in the pediatric business as nurses or whatever.
And by the way, the diapers that they use today have little chemical pellets. All they do is expand once there's... fluid introduced into it. There's a cloth on either side of it. They've opened it up so they can breathe. When was the last time you looked at one of those diapers?
What? What are you talking about?
Look at a diaper. Did you ever have your family compare the competition?
Well, you know something? I would really think twice about a man who, like, inspects a diaper.
Okay. He's
not a
father.
One, doctor. Get your head out of it. Think about it, man. You're a man of science. Get a clean diaper. Buy
the
package.
I would like, you know something? I would like people to know that we do have a diaper service. Sandler's Ass Wraps.
I'm certain you do.
25131.
All right, Eric, you're making a very good point, and you won't listen to this man's point. You're pitching your Sandler's Ass Wraps. What is that?
That is the diaper service.
I knew it.
Oh, man. Here is Susan on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Yes, good afternoon.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, this is for the doctor.
213-251-3189. Yes, ma'am.
This is for the doctor still pitching his diaper service.
Well, you
obviously,
know,
you're
okay.
Pitching your diaper service to increase your revenues.
No, I am trying to save our ecology.
And you're trying to put alarm into the hearts and minds of mothers and
fathers. I'm saving our environment.
Who are completely responsible.
Saving our environment.
I've used both. I have three children. I've used both. And I got to say, I prefer the plastic.
Of course you are, because you're lazy.
No,
because
I'm not
wait,
lazy
wait,
at
whoa,
all.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Let's
no,
not
lazy
start to...
has nothing to do with it.
And what does it have
nothing
to do with?
At all.
Then what does it have to do with if it's not
well,
lazy?
Who wants to cart around a bunch of dirty...
Lazy. That's what I meant. Lazy.
...diapers in their car
I said
all
lazy.
Day long.
That's
when
exact.
You can, no,
yeah.
No.
Well, who
no.
wants to... Because they breathe, because they're cleaner, because with a good diaper service like the Sandler's Ass Wraps, this is a service. We can do the diapers. You pick them up. You've got a nice supply.
I've heard a lot of people say that they got to cart the dirty diaper back to the house, and they don't want to do that.
Oh, well, excuse me. Your kid crapped into something. What are we supposed to do with it?
Well, I'll tell you what.
A lot of people just leave it on the beach. I wouldn't recommend that.
Diaper rashes are not exclusive to plastic diapers. You can get them with cloth. It depends upon how often
well, ma'am,
the
I'm
mother
the doctor,
or father
okay.
changes
All right,
the child.
Thanks for your call, ma'am. Here is Catherine on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hi, I have
yes,
two
ma'am.
Comments.
Go ahead.
One of them is, how
can
you refer to a diaper service
you gave your number.
Something to do with ass when you're talking about a child?
Well, first of all, this is you talk about adults. The children
no,
are not bringing
but
their
I
own
don't
diapers.
Need your products. My kids would, and I would never buy something that referred to as ass. Their children.
No,
and
they
second
are
of all,
diapers. They
I have four kids.
Sandwich.
Are you going to listen, or are you
no,
going to
no,
shut me off like you have everyone else?
I'm allowed to comment on it.
No, you've been running your mouth. Let the lady talk.
Sandler's Ass Wraps, 213
I have four kids, and every one of my kids has pulled off their Pampers. Every single one of them.
They hate them. Don't you get it?
No, I get it that they're curious, and that's
curious?
Why the little kids walk out in the snow. They're kids.
But they walked out in the snow to kill themselves? They can't stand the Pampers.
Have you never been around kids? Do you not know that kids get into everything?
Oh, see, I got it. 3 o'clock in the morning. Let's take a stroll out in the snow. Are you
well, apparently the mom was asleep, so she had no supervision. But you know, my kids get into everything. That's why they have child-proof locks for cabinets.
You know, lady, your children may be at risk. You have just told me that they pulled their Pampers off, that they live in the snow.
Because
you know
they're
what?
Kids. I didn't say my kids
hold
go in the snow.
Where are you going?
I'm
going
to call Chopper Dentistry.
Oh, now, wait a second.
Okay, then.
Wait
whatever.
A minute.
No, she just said her kids are pulling their underwear off in the snow. The
I didn't
thing,
say that. If you would shut your trap and listen for 2 seconds, you would have heard what I said. What I said was, my kids are able to pull their diapers off. It does not take a genius. And I also said that kids are curious. That's why they have child-proof locks on things.
Why
have you never been around a kid?
What are they curious about? They're pulling the Pampers off to look at what, their wiener? They've seen that a million times.
It's called curiosity. Kids get into everything. The same reason that they pull their socks off when you put socks on them. Or they take a hat off when you put a hat on them.
The only thing that sucks around here is you and your attitude. And
she said socks.
Me that people would take
ma'am,
their kids to see you.
The
you
only business that, you know the only business that my family diaper says at service, the only business we get lately are adult cloth diapers. And 35-year-old men. Isn't that great?
Me. Scares you?
That's
scare me.
Why
wait,
do I say?
Because
I'm trying to
know,
save people's lives. I'm trying to save the ecology. I'm trying to save the environment.
Oh.
Shut up. You're
really?
Just running your mouth.
I want to also address the idea that Sandler's Ass Wraps, which she doesn't like the name of that.
No.
Well, did
could
the children...
you plug your company one more time, please? I don't think there's anybody in this country that hasn't heard the name Ass now.
I think the lady is making a very good point. A diaper service for babies, and it's called... It's called Sandler's Ass Wraps.
That's right.
Nice name.
That's
really?
The most ridiculous thing I ever heard in my life.
I'll say it again. Are the babies bringing their own diapers in?
No.
Then how about a couple of wraps for mom and dad?
It doesn't matter. You don't say the F word when referring to something about kids.
Sure do.
The same thing. Well, then you know what? You are a sick man. You are very sick. And
right.
I can't believe
as
that
in,
anybody would take
in,
their kids to see you as a doctor.
As in my two effing kids cost me too much money to send to college.
You
all
are
right.
A sick. Sick man.
You know, Catherine, it's a good thing I don't know where you live, or I would have had Child Protective Services come over there.
Because
and,
my
and,
kids are curious. You know what? My
do
kids
you work
are just
the
like every other kid in this world.
But, so you're telling me you never called your kids little effers?
No, I never have.
Well, you
because
are.
Because I'm
sick.
A good parent. I'm a good parent.
And what division of Pampers do you work in?
No, wait a second.
No, she obviously works
excuse
for
me?
You work for Pampers, don't you? You
no.
work for the blood-sucking Nazis.
No, for your information,
right.
You idiot, I'm a paramedic.
A paramedic?
Yes.
And you know kids are trying to whip those diapers off.
Oh, whatever.
And you never
no.
said, look at this little episode. Oh,
they're doing
frozen.
Everything they can to crawl away from your ass wraps.
All right, Mr. Henry, thank you very much.
Oh, he hung up.
Oh, big surprise. Does that surprise you?
No, he you know what? He got his stinking name of his business out there enough times, though.
Where did you find this guy?
He's a pediatrician who has got this whole thing about Pampers being not ecologic, and now he's trying to lay the Pampers on the blame of these kids that are freezing out in the snow. So, you know, a lot of people say these plastic diapers are no good for the ecology, but this cat turns out he's got a diaper service.
Well, with the name ass in it, you know.
Yes,
hello.
Sandler's Ass Wraps. This is
well,
the kind of, it's California, what can I tell you?
No kidding. Well, and did you notice that he was saying that they weren't ecological and all that stuff, but then mm-hmm. he said that his wife was wiping the poop out of the diapers?
Yeah.
Notice
yeah.
it wasn't him cleaning the diapers.
No.
Oh, you know why she was crying? He said that she was
she was crying herself to sleep at night, yeah.
Because she was married, she figured out what she was married to. It had nothing to do with the diaper service.
Right.
It was that she couldn't believe she walked down the aisle.
Right. Well, I think in a lot of ways. See, you're a mother, right?
Yes.
But you're also a paramedic. You're a professional.
Yes.
So you have to do both jobs, don't you?
I do.
And
I do.
So much of
you still got this broad on.
Where'd you come from?
Well, I called back. I thought that was the end of the hour.
Oh, God, he came back.
Holy
he's like
geez.
A fungus.
Oh, shut up.
Look, I got to hang up now.
An immature fungus. You are really a pediatrician.
All right,
did
he's a baby.
Did you get your license and came on?
He's a baby. I'm sorry.
Oh,
thank you,
God.
Catherine. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show, world famous, 1-800-449-8686. Nobody anywhere does a show like this one. Nobody anywhere could do a show like this one, and no one anywhere wants to do a show like this one. I'm the only guy that wants to do this. All right, now, there was an earthquake in Seattle today. I don't know if you heard, 6.8 on the Richter scale. Earthquakes are not funny to a lot of people. Earthquakes are not funny to me. I've lived through several because I grew up and now reside in a place called Southern California, which you know is a earthquake hotspot. But Seattle, that's a whole different story. Seattle is in the Northwest, although we have had quakes in Alaska. I don't recall any major quakes hitting Seattle, although they do say they had a big one, a 7.0 back in the 19th century, but like, who remembers that? We got some audio, and this is no joke. And when you hear it, you'll know it's no joke. This is audio of a guy cutting a commercial at a radio station in Seattle, and then the quake hits as he's cutting the commercial. This, I'm going to tell you something. Well, I'm going to play it, and then I'll... But I do want you to know that one of the members of our staff was here and heard this, and for some people, especially in Los Angeles, when they hear any kind of earthquake coverage or they hear any kind of... or they are taken back to any kind of experience of an earthquake, they have a sensory memory of the 94 Northridge quake. And one person on our staff heard this and, like, left the room in tears because it was just, like I say, the sensory memory of living through one. So anyway, here it is. This is the sounds of the Seattle quake this morning.
Call Dimension Systems today at 1-888-346-7979. That's 1-888-346-7979. That's an earthquake. Whoa.
Crying out f***ing loud. Jesus Lordy.
Uh-oh.
Jesus Lordy. Christ all f***ing mighty. Uh-oh.
Is that cool or what? That is awesome. All right. That's so bitchin'. Anyway, that sound at the end sounded like a motorcycle. It was the tape, I guess. The reel-to-reel was spinning on the capstan or something. It was just suddenly, it was going into fast-forward. But whatever happened, it triggered the, so dig that. That sounds like a, I've been in quakes that just sort of stay at one level. That one sounded like it suddenly got worse, man. Have you, is that the way Northridge was? Like, Northridge was sort of just one constant, started off with a boom and just sort of stayed at that level and then diminished. But that thing starts off like, you know, well, that's an earthquake. And then, man, did it sound to you like these guys, you know, you only freak out if you're in a building, you know, you're higher up than a couple of floors. If you're ground floor, just dive for cover because you figure the worst thing that's happened is the roof will cave in. And if you're under a doorway or something, well, hell, I don't know. So Craig was in the Philippines during a quake that was just like that. What quake was that? What, 93? Oh, the 1989 Philippines. Oh, I remember. Was that, like, where was that? Manila? Outside of Manila, 89. And it was like that. Earthquakes are, there's something wrong with me. I've been in them. I heard that. They've never really bought. Now, I was, in 1987, I was on the air at a local radio station during the, what was the Whittier earthquake. The quake hit in a commercial break. We had stopped playing music. I said something. I went into a commercial break, and the quake hit during the commercial break. And I remember my producer at the time starting to cry because she had just moved in from New York. So this was a whole new thing for her. So we all stood under the doorway looking like idiots. And I remember the three of us, you know, with our sort of backs to each other, standing in the doorway. It looked kind of silly. And anyway, that was the, imagine me worrying about looking silly in the middle of an earthquake. And then the thing subsided, and we went back on the air, and it was no big thing. But I remember we were in a glass building, and if we'd had run outside or anything, it was like been tons of glass. And at the time, I was living with my girlfriend. She was picking up clothes in our house. When I came home, I found my jeans laying on the driveway, and I said, well, what did you do? She said, when the quake hit, I ran outside, and I just happened to be holding your pants. And she just left everything dumped out there. I got home, and I found my pants laying in the driveway. And she said, and by the way, get out. Well, thank you, honey. One more time? Here we go.
Call Dimension Systems today at 1-888-346-7979. That's 1-888-346-7979. That's an earthquake. Whoa.
Crying out f***ing loud.
Just.
Jesus Lordy.
Uh-oh.
+1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show, $111,180 raised for my friend's place through the sale of the number one rated Phil Hendry Show Best of 2000 CD and the number one rated Phil Hendry Show Best of 2000 picture disc vinyl. You can call and get a copy of both or all or none or whatever. 877-616-PHIL, 877-616-7445. And all the money goes to my friend's place. Visa, MasterCard, welcome. Earthquake in Seattle, and we did a little sound from that in the last hour, a 6.8 earthquake. Bob McGraw is with McGraw Industries, joining us on our Newsmaker line from Los Angeles. And this was quite a frightening moment for the people in Seattle, Bob. I know that your company specializes in contributing money to charities by way of the great work that you've done in private industry, correct?
Phil, that is absolutely correct. And let me tell you something, that McGraw Industries, we are interested in using the capital that's been raised for the, and I can tell you, using the capital raised in the private sector for the relief of people is a unique idea to our corporation and has been a cornerstone of McGraw Industries in bringing to people an awareness, people in the community, an awareness of what needs to be done for those who are less fortunate. And this Seattle earthquake reminds us that earthquake safety is number one, no matter where you live. We've had earthquakes in upstate New York. We had an earthquake in the southeast last year. No matter where you live in the United States, quake safety should be number one. An earthquake relief victims fund has been set up at McGraw Industries. You can certainly write a check to us in care of Bob McGraw. Earthquake Relief Victims Fund for the Seattle earthquake. We started that today. And what you get in return for your donation is an earthquake safety kit, Phil, that includes water, matches, candles, blanket, nuts, sardines, playing cards. Also, this is a limited edition earthquake kit. It is signed and numbered by Bob McGraw, myself, increasing the value of the contents. $250, Phil, but this is a collector's item. And it's not a lot of money when you're talking about saving people's lives. That's what we want to do with McGraw Industries. We're so very thankful that nobody so far has lost their life in Seattle. But I think it bears repeating that it's early. Somebody could be dead, and we may not know it. And if that's the case, all the more reason to buy an earthquake safety kit from McGraw Industries.
All right, well, the money you're raising for this earthquake safety kit goes to charity.
That is absolutely correct, Phil. This is not a lot of money when you're talking about saving people's lives. And it's also a selfish contribution because it's a win-win situation. You win, too. You get a tax-deductible donation for a charitable donation. You also get a limited edition numbered by Bob McGraw and signed by me earthquake kit, and the money will go to the earthquake relief.
Well, what is the name of the, this is going directly to your earthquake relief victims fund?
That is correct.
What do they make the checks out to?
You'll make the check out to Bob McGraw or make it out to Bob McGraw Industries. And
all right, there are a lot of people who might, all right, you know, in an earthquake, and I'm sure we're all aware, I remember Hurricane Andrew in Miami, the same thing, Bob. You know, people are afraid, and I'm not saying you're this kind of a guy, but people are afraid that they're donating money maybe to a...
I know. You're talking about a flim-flam or some kind of a fly-by-night organization.
Yeah, absolutely. So can they make the check out to Earthquake Relief Victims Fund?
We, right at this particular point, Phil, we're not set up for that. What we would rather they do is just go ahead and make it out to Bob McGraw. But that money, I can guarantee you, is going to go directly to earthquake relief in the Seattle area. I promise you that.
And what guarantees does your...
I will guarantee that. I will guarantee that money goes to earthquake relief victims in the Seattle area. And for those who are curious how McGraw Industries works in donating charitable relief, we are very happy to tell you that we donate millions of dollars to a variety of charities every year through the profits from our various corporations.
And what are some of those charities? I know you're talking about Earthquake Relief Victims Fund. You donate to who?
We donate to a variety of charities, Phil, in and around the United States. Some of them are children's charities. Some have to do with the elderly.
Can you give us an example of one?
I sure can. Right now, I don't have my bookkeeping. It's in my briefcase, Phil, which is in my car right now, but I'd be very happy to tell you about some of the organizations that we donate to.
All right. Bob McGraw is with us. Bob is with McGraw Industries, raising money for earthquake relief by selling an earthquake safety kit. For those of you who are not aware of earthquake safety kits, these are things that a lot of people in earthquake areas, like in California, we have these in our garages. This earthquake safety kit has a variety of things you'd need. And if you donate $250, you get the earthquake safety kit, and the money goes to, you're saying the money goes to earthquake relief. Is that correct?
The earthquake relief in the Seattle area, yes, Phil.
Okay, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686 is our number. Now, you're giving money to the Earthquake Relief Victims Fund, but they make their check out to McGraw Industries.
Make it out. It would be better to make it out just to Bob McGraw, and that way we don't have to go through a lot of red tape, because we want to make sure this money gets to the people as quickly as we can.
And they can't make it out to the earthquake relief. This is what I mean. Some people might think that...
Well, I can tell them, there's no problem with this. I guarantee to everybody listening right now, that money's going to get to the earthquake relief. You better believe it. You bet you. Water, magic. matches, candle, blanket. This is our earthquake relief safety kit. It includes state-of-the-art water, matches, candle, blanket, a can of sardines, some nuts, playing cards, limited edition, signed and numbered. And
all right, now, when you say limited edition, how many of these do you have?
I've got to check our warehouse right now, Phil, but we are cutting it off at a certain point. And by
limited edition, you can tell us how many do you have?
We're cutting it off. I don't know at this time. I've got to check our fax because I've got that in the car, but I wanted you to know that it will be signed and numbered. And for people who are art collectors, you know that a particularly valuable piece of art is often signed and numbered by the artist. Well, our earthquake safety kit is also signed. It's also numbered by me, Bob McGraw, from McGraw Industries. This isn't India, Phil. This didn't happen far away in a foreign country. This happened close to home right here in America. We take care of our own in America. We have a sense of community. There's a sense of urgency about this. So our call to action to call up Bob McGraw and tell us that you'd like to order this kit, $250 earthquake safety kit. You can help now, and thanks to want to thank you, Phil, and your program for this marvelous opportunity to try to get the message out. Earthquake safety, very, very important.
So they can order this kit at $250 and make the check out to Bob McGraw, not to Margaret.
Just make it out to me at this particular time. And
One of the things also that we want to know is you need the information. I'll tell you what, we have a commercial break coming up. Can you get the information on the other charities that you're involved with?
I'd be happy to, Phil.
And then would you also tell us when you're going to have this earthquake relief victims fund set up? Because people making checks out to you, you know.
No, I understand. Right now, I'd like them to make out the checks to me. And
where does that money go?
Right now, that money would go into my own checking account because we have got to get this set up. Look, this thing happened this morning. It is absolutely just devastates those of us who've ever been in an earthquake. It scares people, and we want to make sure we get the money up to Seattle. So I'm going to put that money in my personal checking account.
All right, so is it a business account?
It is a business account. I do use it for business.
All right, 1-800, hold on for a minute, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry's show here. We're going to take some calls from people. Bob McGraw from McGraw Industries on the line. And for $250, you can get an earthquake safety kit, water, matches, candle, the whole thing. The money is going to Earthquake Relief Victims Fund, which he needs to set that up. So now just make the check out to Bob McGraw, and it goes into his checking account. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show. I'm with Bob McGraw from McGraw Industries. He's raising money for Earthquake Relief of Seattle, which had that 6.8 today. Bob,
I want to ask you something very unusual, if you don't mind, for just a few moments, because I want the impact for this to settle in with people and the idea that we need to help people close to home with the sale of these Bob McGraw earthquake kits. Would you play back the audio you had of the earthquake?
You mean the guy in the announce booth?
The radio announcer. I really want people to know the fear that can be struck into the hearts and the minds of someone in an earthquake. Imagine a relative of yours going through this.
I don't know.
Just play it back, Phil, and let people know. This is the fear that people feel in an earthquake.
All right, well, we'll play this. This is the announcer in Seattle, and then you heard what happened.
Call Dimension Systems today at 1-888-346-7979. That's 1-888-346-7979. That's an earthquake.
Hear that? That's fear. The man is fear.
Whoa.
Jesus Lord.
Uh-oh.
Jesus Lord. Christ all f***ing mighty.
Listen, they're scared.
Whoa.
All right, well, that's...
Well, I wanted people to hear that because that's the kind of fear. That's the kind of fear that people feel in an earthquake. And we donate our funds to try to help them.
All right, I'm going to go to some phone calls, but you mentioned you were going to get some of the names of the charities that you donate your monies to.
I do have those, Phil. We donate our funds to a lot of charities. Right now I can't think of the exact name, but a lot of them, we do have a charity for conjunctivitis. Children who are hungry get abused and with cancer as well. So there are a lot of things that happen with all of that.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Let's talk to Joe. You're on the Phil Hendry Show, and we'll give that phone number out later, right?
Yeah, please do.
All right, Joe?
Yeah.
Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. I'm calling you from Tampa, Florida. I'm a retired Philadelphia police detective.
God bless you.
Anybody that donates money to this guy is out of their mind. It's the biggest flim-flam in the world.
Right.
That's why we have the Red Cross. This is why you have Salvation Army. Please, anybody listen to me. Don't give money and put it into anybody's personal account.
Phil, it's interesting. We've had our problems with the police because they can't stand the idea that we do the good work that we do. They think there's got to be something that's wrong with it. I challenge you to tell me what's flim-flam about it. We are taking money and giving it to the earthquake relief people. And
you
these
don't
kids
even
are...
know who you've helped over the last few years.
I just got done telling
you. I don't want
you.
To get in a debate
well,
with you or anything like that.
Well, you're
going
to have to get in a debate with me because
give
I know
the,
my business.
Let the people
you don't.
Give the money to Blue Cross.
We give the money to
Red
abused
Cross.
Children. We give the money to the kids who are hungry, and we give money to the hungry kids. All of those.
So
your business.
Let this happen on your radio show.
Know your
I'm
business,
just a new
okay.
listener, but don't
know
be part and parcel to
hey,
it.
Hey, Joe, you're a retired police lieutenant. Do your part. Send us $250. Get one of these earthquake kits. And
he lives in Tampa.
Well, you can laugh
I know
if you
better
want.
Than that,
right.
my friend.
All right, thanks for calling, sir.
Well, you know, Joe, you did a disservice by lying about me, and I'm going to remember that.
Whatever. Why the bad feeling with the police?
The bad feeling with the police is this. They don't like the fact that there's other people beside them doing good work, and we do good work. $250 gets the signed limited edition earthquake kit, and you'll be glad you did.
All right, let's go to line five. Fernando, hi. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Bob McGraw from McGraw Industries, collecting money for Earthquake Relief Victims Fund for Seattle.
It's a joke.
Okay, I can't hear you.
It's a joke.
Okay. It's a joke? Is that what you said?
Yes. He's saying it's for... What did you say it was for kids with conjunctivitis?
No, the earthquake relief is for the Seattle earthquake victims. The other charities that we've been involved in have been for children who have lost legs, and there's a conjunctivitis deal. I don't know all of them.
Conjunctivitis deal is something with the eye.
Yes, it is. You bet.
Well.
What's the problem?
You know the specific diseases that they have, but you don't know the name of the thing.
No, I know the name of the charity is.
What do you say? There's a legless cancer thing?
Yeah, I'm going to put it on 1200 AM right now.
Okay, you know what, sir? You're really I can't hear what you're saying. Okay,
hey,
so get off of that crappy phone. I'm going to put you on hold. Go to another phone, and we'll get back to you. All right? What is it again, Bob?
No, Phil. The charity is for kids that don't the legless cancer kids.
Legless cancer. What does that mean?
Let me tell you something, my friend. There are a lot of children out there that are suffering. They're in chemotherapy right now, going through radiation. They are having a really they're having a tough time. So they are hungry with conjunctivitis.
They're hungry with conjunctivitis. I don't know these charities that you speak of.
Phil, we've been doing this for a lot of years. Okay.
All right. Well, if you say you've been doing it for a lot of years, Tad on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Yeah, I just want to say, you know that you're an opportunist, is what you are, and. You know what? If you're going to be selling earthquake kits, why are you selling, and you laugh, why are you selling limited editions? It should go out to as many possible people, you know, as possible. And
well,
possibly there's people that have died.
Well,
you want people to send you $250. The reason that you don't agree with the police is because you're a con artist.
No,
that's
you
what
know,
you are.
I think
and
it's
I agree with the first gentleman. If anybody sends any money in, I'll send money in to Phil Hendry. I'll send a check to Phil Hendry before I will send a check. You and you know what?
Well,
family,
you know you can do that. You
I
can
have
send
family it. Out in the Seattle area, and if you know that's the problem with people like you.
Well, you know something. I think what we could do is, if it makes you feel better, you send that check to Phil Hendry.
Yeah, I will send
and
it
you
to
send
Phil Hendry,
that,
and I'll make
right.
he'll make sure that it's taken care of. Not
well,
you.
No, you make it out to me because I will get your
probably,
money to those people.
Unfortunately, you're probably going to get some people that are going to be willing to send money in because they think it's going to a good deed.
What is your guarantee that that money will get to those people?
I guarantee.
He can't guarantee anything. He can't even guarantee his name.
You know, I guarantee that money will. We are. Earthquake preparedness is one of the most important things you could have in the state of California and across this country. We had an earthquake in upstate New York not too long ago. With an earthquake kit, $250, it's limited edition, which means it will go up in value. As the years go by...
Well, wait a minute. It go up in value. So what am I going to do? Go to a swap meet? Hey, I got an earthquake kit.
You got an earthquake kit that was signed by Bob McGraw, and I raised money.
So I got an earthquake kit signed by Bob McGraw.
Yeah, who's right. Bob McGraw anyways? Who
hey,
are
you're
you?
You're talking to him.
Who's it? Yeah, but why? What do I want signed by you? I want Phil to sign my earthquake kit, not you.
I'll tell you what you do is you send that money to Phil Henry, make it out to Bob McGraw. He'll send it.
Well, what? Okay, so he make it out to Bob McGraw, and I'll get it. I'll get the money to you. Okay. Here is Melissa on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
I can't believe that this guy is on the line.
You know, we've had a very sad thing happen in Seattle. We got a lot.
What I want to understand, Bob, is that you claim that you've given so much money to charities before in the past that you must have a great. Okay.
Well, how much money have you given to charity? Let's turn the tables a little bit and ask you, Melissa, what have you done for charity? What have you done for people less fortunate? What have you done for victims of disaster? Okay.
I just wrote a check to the March of Dimes.
To the March of Dimes.
That's my charity.
Hey, I hate to break the news. They cured polio. So look at you throwing your money into a
terrible
hole.
Thing?
No, you're throwing your money into a rat hole.
Okay,
the March of Dimes.
Hey,
so in other words, you're throwing your money into a big rat hole.
You know what, Bob? It's my turn this
time. Your money into a
rat hole. What I want to know is, if you have donated to so many charities, why wouldn't a bank have such a great connection with you that they would open an account like that for
you, for the fund? I'll answer your question this way. You're suspecting me of doing things that are illegal or perhaps unethical, and you write a check to the March of Dimes, which hasn't cured a thing, hasn't
At least they tell me only 75% of my dollar is going in. At least I know that they're being honest. You're going to take $250 from people that work hard for their money so that you can grow.
We donate money to the March of Quarters, okay?
It's for your personal use,
Why do you donate it to the March of Dimes? You could donate it to the March of Quarters. Why do you donate it to the March of Dimes?
Why would I donate to you, Bob? That's like the farmer next door.
You hate the people in Seattle?
You're pathetic.
I can't believe you are even on this show. You hate the people in Seattle, okay? One of the problems you've got, Phil, is...
I hate the people in Seattle, but I'm going to give my money to you. That's for sure.
How else are you going to help them? How else are you going to help them?
People are having a hard time because you won't tell us... Hold on, Melissa. You won't tell us the name of the organization.
I told you it's Earthquake Relief Victims Fund.
Why is everything locked up in your car? And what the hell is Hungry Child? What is that? I've never heard of that in my life.
You never heard of Hungry Children? If you've never heard of Hungry Children, then maybe what you ought to do is go out and meet a hungry child and help a hungry child.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Sarah on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I'm sorry. I've got to agree with everybody who's called in so far.
Let
her talk.
Wait your turn. You've done enough talking. You have no business. You have no bank account. Who do you even know in Seattle besides getting some bogus radio program over the air? Why, John, I really like your show. Why is this guy on here? Do you know him?
He's, he does.
Phil, let me take it from here. I don't want you to...
No, I asked John, Bob. I didn't ask you.
His name isn't John, Sarah. Or is it Sally?
My name's Phil.
Yeah, how about that?
Okay, Phil,
You don't hear too good.
Tell me,
open your hearts and open your wallets. What I'm asking you is open your hearts and open your wallets and get some money in the Earthquake Relief Victims Fund.
I donate 50% of my take-home pay to charities.
To who?
Okay,
you don't even know to who.
I donate 10% to my church. I give all my excess clothes and my children's clothes to the Kidney Foundation.
Oh, look at the big
spender. But it's none of your business. I want to know why you are on this program.
Look at the big spender taking some old rags your kid crapped in and sending them off.
What an idiot.
Scientology.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show. Joining me on the show this hour is Bob McGraw with McGraw Industries. As you know, there was a 6.8 earthquake in Seattle, and Bob is on the line with us right now. He has set up an earthquake relief victims fund, which, of course, we're trying to...
Phil, could I just ask your indulgence? Could you play the earthquake audio one more time from Seattle? Could you?
You know what? We've heard it enough. I played it one time. Somebody got upset.
I would like you to play it one more time.
Okay, Bob, I appreciate the fact that you want to hear the earthquake audio one more time, but I don't want to play it anymore. I already had one staff member actually run out of the room crying because she'd lived through an earthquake. You know, I don't want that.
No, but I was told by members of your staff that I'd be allowed to hear that again. We are going to be giving a significant amount of money to my friend's place, which I know is a charity that you're involved with. So I'd like to hear it again.
Well, I don't know what you're telling me.
Well, but basically what I'm telling you is if I don't hear the earthquake audio, then we have to rethink our association with my friend's place.
Oh, I see.
That's right.
Ah, okay. So you're not going to give any money to my friend's place.
I will tell you this much. Let me put it to you as clearly as I can. If I don't hear the earthquake audio, some of the money we're going to raise today, we may not give to earthquake victims.
Well, then you're going to have to give it back to the people.
No, I can keep it. Now, Phil, this is very important, so please play it.
I don't like your attitude, man.
Well, I don't like your attitude.
I'm going to take a phone call. Here is Rose on the Phil Henry Show.
I want to hear that earthquake audio.
Yes,
Rose,
hello.
Go ahead, Rose.
Sir, my inner spirit tells me this man is a racketeer. Do not advertise for him.
We donate to children and homeless people.
I do not care what you say. You
and
have no credentials. You have no credentials that you can show. And anyone who donates to your bank account is
not using
good judgment.
What about children without legs?
What about them? You probably wouldn't help one of them.
Yes, I do, ma'am. I give
well,
money to them.
Well, then go and help
how
them
do we
and
know?
Quit trying to take money from people. And
how do we know you're helping children without legs?
I guarantee that we said...
You guarantee with what?
Wait a minute. You said according to your spirit?
Yes, my inner spirit told me get on that phone right away, and I even prayed that I would get through in time before anyone sent you money.
What about dogs that are homeless? You don't know about that, do you? You know, Rose,
listen.
You sit there in your home, and I hope you have a nice, comfortable life. Meanwhile, there are children who don't have,
Sir, you are a fast talker,
ma'am,
I do not care to listen to your garbage.
Well, Rose, while you sit there making yourself some little soup tonight, or making a beautiful dinner for yourself...
Well, you're not kosher, I can say that.
Are you Jewish?
No.
Well, I am.
Well,
and I can tell you right
you're
now,
no credit to the race.
Well, I can tell
you're
you
no credit to the race.
The children who don't have children without homeless, the homeless.
Well, yeah, exactly. Who are they? Children without the homeless. What?
Phil, I've been involved in charitable work for a long time.
Just name one of the charities
Nobody's
you're involved in.
Nobody's ever heard of you before.
Ma'am, I do a lot of work behind the scenes. The good Lord told us.
You do. You're trying to do something behind
told
the
us,
scenes. Now, this is unethical.
Jesus told us in the Bible says when you give anonymously. And that's what we're doing. Papa Christ. Oh, you laugh
yes,
about
I
that.
Yes, I know a lot about what the Bible says.
Oh, you do? Then you know that giving anonymously is the best way. So I don't, people don't know, you don't know who I am because I give behind the scenes.
Oh, you are. Listen.
I contributed.
Are you
in Waco, Texas?
I suppose you thought you could follow that doctor and sound really good, but you don't sound good at all.
What? Say that again?
I said, I suppose you thought you could follow that pediatrician, as he called himself, and sound good. You don't sound good at all. You sound like
I don't get what she's saying.
Well, I don't care.
You're not making... How old are you?
I'm 73.
Oh, that's the problem. Okay.
Well, what do you mean that's the problem?
We donate to children who don't have dogs. I mean, who don't have children. Ah, God damn.
Oh, listen to the language all of a sudden, huh? All right, listen.
Play it.
We'll play it for you, all right?
Call Dimension Systems today at 1-888-346-7979. That's 1-888-346-7979. That's an earthquake.
All right, I'm cutting it off because people get upset.
I want to hear it.
I'm cutting it off. Here is Viola on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
I got to say, this guy is pathetic. I give myself to charity. My grandson has leukemia. My grandson was dying. I gave of myself.
We
I donated my time. You don't know what it is to donate nothing. You want money in your checking account for you. Go to work, get a job, get a life, get on with it.
We give money to leukemia research.
You give money to yourself. You can't even name a charity. Candlelight is in Colorado Springs. That's a charity. It helps children every day of their life. You help nobody.
Let me ask you something, Bob.
You're nobody.
Name one company that I want the name of one company that you...
We donate to children who have cancer.
Well, then you haven't named any of them.
My grandson
has cancer. I was up in the hospital. I seen the children dying. You know nothing about nothing.
Ma'am, I hate to tell you, but your grandson's probably alive today because of me. Because of the
money
that I gave.
My grandson's alive because of the Almighty God saving his life.
I want you to thank me.
And for me of giving my time to him.
I gave to
the 724.
One of our foundations, the Star Search Find a Cure for Kids.
You know
Foundation.
Nothing.
And you say to me, your kid had cancer. And
how do you know?
My grandson, not my kid.
Grandson, how
my
do you know?
My grandson, Seth Nolte, had cancer at 6 months old.
Let me look
it
up
alive
in our file.
Because of doctors.
Okay, let me look it up. Let me look it up in our file. Seth Nolte?
You're an idiot. Don't you dare use my grandson's name in any way.
There's his name.
Don't deserve to use his name.
He's in our file. We've kissed my feet for saving your grandson's life.
He's a hero. My grandson's a hero. He survived leukemia. You're nothing. You're a pathetic piece of garbage.
By the way,
you belong.
Ma'am, I hate to tell you, it's not leukemia. It's leukemia.
It's leukemia.
You said leukemia.
Excuse me?
Yes.
You aggravate me. People like you don't even belong here. I don't know where you come from.
You tell me I can't use his name. You put his name on the air first, and I looked him
That's
up in our
right.
file, and I helped save his life. So,
you didn't save nobody. You can't even save your pathetic old life.
My life is doing fine.
Go to a job and make some money and put it in your checkbook.
What's the name of the earthquake fund that people would send checks to?
Just send it to Bob McGraw.
Yeah, but Bob McGraw's checking account to pay for his bills. That's what it's for.
Is that what it is, Bob?
Oh, so this cynical woman... who hates people.
I don't hate people. I love people. Don't you say I hate people. I help people every day. Every day I help somebody.
Name one foundation that you donate time to.
The Candlelighters of Colorado Springs.
Never heard of it.
You never heard of that? Yet we're supposed to hear about the home for childless kids who don't have puppies or whatever the hell it is. What do you...
Phil, you are belittling what I do for charity.
Well, what's the name of one organization that you've donated money to?
The leukemia... kids... the leukemia deal.
What leukemia deal? The Candlelighters of Colorado Springs is a charity that we donate time to children that have leukemia. We give money, we give our time, and we give help.
I never heard of that organization.
Well,
need to raise $500,000 before I get off the air. You need to send money now to help the people in Seattle.
If anybody sends money to this man, they're insane.
Send money.
Wait a minute. Why are we sending money to Seattle again?
Because of the deal that happened.
What deal?
Mr. Henry, I've got it in my briefcase.
You got it in your briefcase. What happened in Seattle today for us to send money to?
Sir, I don't want to be yelled at.
I'm asking you as calmly as I can, why would we send money to Seattle?
They had some bad weather.
Okay, excuse me.
Is it a tornado?
What you need to do, sir, is go into your briefcase, put yourself in there, and lock yourself, and let us be free of you.
Because
everything else is in your briefcase, you might as well be in your briefcase and set up your office in there.
Was it a tornado?
No, it wasn't a tornado.
What was it?
They had an earthquake.
Of course it was an earthquake.
Oh, you didn't know. Look at this, Viola didn't know.
Oh, did I not know? I knew it was an earthquake. That's what this show is about.
You know something? I give money to all the leukemia deals, and you don't give any.
She gives of her time. And what do you mean all the leukemia deals?
All the deals that they do.
What deals?
The deal where you put the money for the kids that are bald. Why are they bald? They got the...
Your chemotherapy?
Yeah, that's it. I give money to bald kids.
Great. That's fantastic. Good luck. Freaking weirdo. Hey, what happened up in Seattle today? Some bad weather? 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. One 800 449 8686. Phil Henry Show. Bob McGraw and that earthquake deal, huh? So, hope everybody in Seattle's fine. I had a bit of news. It was really funny. This cracked me up. We do things on this show. Like, if I was comb over boy, here's what I would do right now. I would say, why don't you give us a call and tell us what bit we did on the air that went over the line, huh? You know what I'm talking about, too, don't you? where we really went over the line. I mean, we always do radical things on this show. We do radical things on the show. That's what our show's known for, doing really radical things. But what have we really got over the line? Give us a call here so I can stay on the phone for 20 minutes with some broad, because I don't have any other calls to go to. Anyway, we have done things, I don't know, but I'll tell you this. I got this news. Guy says to me, boy, the station, you know, in so-and-so, in what market? I said, oh, really? He said, yeah, they never, ever really recovered from the Pope is backed up bit. I mean, I had to laugh. I said, what do you mean they've never recovered? Apparently, when we did the bit where the Pope hasn't had sex in so long that it's like backing up, you know, where he's, what was it, Mike? He was flipping out or something because he hadn't, it was causing him to shake. The Pope had palsy because he hadn't had sex in so long, he was backed up. When we hit the air with that thing, apparently there was a station on our network that it was months ago that we did that bit. Months ago. Last, almost, you know, in the middle of last year, as a matter of fact. And this one station on our network, he got the word to me. He says, they've never recovered from that. They have had complaints, and they have had the this, and they have the that. So what happens is now, the guys that pitch our show around the country, give them a copy, whatever station we're pitching, they always get a copy of the Chris Norton No Bush Day Hour. Now, if you weren't with us for that, that's where Chris proposed that because he hated George Bush, didn't like George Bush's presidency, didn't like the administration, he wanted to sponsor a No Bush Day, and the No Bush Day would be Chris is down at Hermosa Beach shaving the bushes off of women that came in a private tent. That was No Bush Day. So what we did with that hour is that's the hour we use now to pitch our show around the country. So I know now that when I got an affiliate signing on, they get it, brother. They're really with us, okay? With all due respect to any other affiliate that has had a harder time with the show than perhaps others, and, you know, and not even to talk business on the air. I don't want to. I just want you to know that that's kind of how we do business. And I thought it was really funny when he said to me, they've never quite recovered from that bit. And I got to thinking about some of the other things. We did one on the air. I should have been fired for this, for allowing this bit on the air. It was after the Columbine situation. And we allowed Chris on the air to talk about a film that he wanted to do to help promote healing at Columbine, to help promote the healing there. And he wanted to film a movie called Columbone. And it was going to be an adult film, Let the Healing Begin. Well, Mike says, oh, Melissa says that you take great offense at that. It was one of the best hours we ever did. I don't know. The other thing was when Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police was doing Menopause Awareness Week, and he was literally stopping women in their late 40s on up and giving them gynecological exams to make sure they weren't suffering from vaginal itching, because if they were, they'd have to use one hand to take care of that. Well, with only one hand on the wheel, that meant they would be driving unsafely, and that one, you know, in other words, they might kill somebody. That hour, by the way, was Maria's fault. She gave us that idea for that, so thanks a lot. Thanks, Melissa, for blaming my wife. The other one that I was thinking of, and we actually got into some trouble for this. We got into some serious trouble for this. And we had to explain, you know, what was going on. We had a character on who was talking about being sexually attracted to President Reagan. It was a guy, you know, it was a Republican, some like founder of the Southern Republicans of America. I don't know what it was, but he was a Republican who was so infatuated with President Reagan, he wanted to have sex with him. And we like got into some Secret Service trouble over that. You can't even talk about wanting to have sex with the president. That's considered to be a possible threat. And then, of course, there was Father Dwayne Poppick. Many of you don't know who Father Dwayne Poppick is because we were forced to kill him. We came on the air in 1996 with Father Dwayne Poppick, and the Archdiocese of Los Angeles complained to the point where I had to get rid of this character. I've never before in my career ever had to censor or edit material. Not since I've been in talk radio for 10 years did I ever have to censor material quite to the extent that I had to kill off or get rid of a character that I was doing because the Catholic Archdiocese of Los Angeles didn't like it. But we had to do that with Father Dwayne Poppick. We had to get rid of him. And so the way I got rid of him was I had him crucify himself on the air. He nailed himself to a cross and that's how he died. Because I have the Catholic Church is not on my side anymore, and they don't like my show, and they're not going to be listening to me anymore. Well, I might as well just go out with a bang. So we'll kill off this character, and by killing him off, we will have him nail himself to a cross. And then there was John F. Kennedy Jr., and the real reason why his plane crashed. The real reason why John F. Kennedy's plane crashed wasn't because he became disoriented. There wasn't a fuel problem or a mechanical problem. His wife and sister-in-law wouldn't shut up about the shopping they were going to do once they got to Cape Cod, so he decided he'd take his chances with the sharks. He ditched the plane on purpose, or was going to try to ditch the plane, and of course it crashed. And of course, then it sort of devolved from there was he ditching the plane to try to just take his chances on a life raft, or was he killing himself? He would rather die than listen to two women talk about shopping. And that's, you know, how that went. Father Dwayne Poppick, it reminded me of something else, him crucifying himself on the air. Never mind, I don't want to get into that. But Father Greg from the Diocese in Los Angeles became a very good friend of our families, by the way. He actually said a mass at our house before he relocated to the northern part of the state. My wife's Catholic. Today's Ash Wednesday. If you see anybody walking around with a black smudge on their forehead, it's my wife. No, it wasn't because I grabbed her head the wrong way. She has a little black cross on her forehead. It's Ash Wednesday, so Catholics go out and get the ash. And what you're doing, seriously, one time somebody asked me, did you butt your cigarette on your forehead or what the hell? No, I didn't butt my cigarette on my forehead. So if you see somebody, it's either Maria or Squeaky Fromm. She's got that cross on her forehead. It could have been Squeaky. Anyway, that was the whole story about, you know, that station that said, you know, we never quite recovered. So I was curious about that, the bits. And then, of course, earlier in the week, Bobby Dooley coming on and saying she had breast cancer, only to say 15 minutes later that she was kidding. And the reason why she was kidding is because women can kid with each other like that, in much the same way that African-Americans kid with each other. Members of subcultural groups kid with each other, and women actually like to call each other whore and bitch because it's endearing. So that's really what the Phil Hendry Show is all about, making fun of people with breast cancer. And I hope you enjoy it, as we're here each and every day, and kids with leukemia, and let's not forget all those folks suffering in Seattle. We're bound to hear it from somebody. That's a very endearing thing, as you say. Melissa said it's very endearing for one woman to say to another, you my whore. Okay, 1-800, or is it ho? 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Call Dimension Systems today at 1-888-346-7979. That's 1-888-346-7979. That's an earthquake. Whoa.
Crying out f***ing loud. Jesus Lordy.
Uh-oh.
Jesus
Uh-oh.
Lordy. Christ all f***ing mighty. Uh-oh.
Okay, that is the earthquake that occurred today in the city of Seattle, and that's the way it sounds without music. But here's the way it sounds with a popular national anthem.
Call Dimension Systems today at 1-888-346-7979. That's 1-888-346-7979.
Reveille.
That's an earthquake. Whoa. Uh-oh.
Jesus Lord. Christ all f***ing mighty. Uh-oh.
Okay, so, yeah, we got it. Thank you. All right, so that's that. Then I was thinking, well, had you ever heard it? See, that's the... as I said, the earthquake audio of the guy there in the radio studio. Now we're going to try it with something just a little bit different. Belly dance music. So how would it sound if you were in the middle of, say, some sort of...
Call Dimension Systems today at 1-888-346-7979. That's 1-888-346-7979. That's an earthquake. Whoa.
Jesus, Lord. Christ, all f***ing mighty.
So there you go. There's the Seattle earthquake today to belly dancing music. I used to go to a place in Pasadena. I don't know if it's still there. Continental Burger on Lake. And they had belly dancing on Thursday nights. They had these two brothers. Do you know the place, Greg? It's still there? Are they still doing belly dancing on Thursday night? Oh, my God. Melissa says, yes, it's still there. What are you doing in there, Melissa? Oh, because Mark's from Pasadena. Oh, my God. We're talking 30 years then. Well, I used to go in there in 1975, man. And you cats are telling me you can still go in there? They'd have belly dancing. You'd get a big pitcher of beer and... sit there and get wasted. It's Phil Hendry's show here, 1-800-449-8686. We were talking about going over the line, and we had the earthquake in Seattle today, and everybody's just flipping their lid. Earthquakes are a part of America, and, has there ever been a time when we haven't had them? But, of course, now, with the year 2001, everyone thinks it's the end of the world. Well, maybe it is. You know, this end of the world thing, man, better happen. We got all the earthquake. We got everything is set. Everything's in place. Riots and earthquakes and all kinds of crap, and the world just keeps right on plugging away, doesn't it? It's just here, and I often wonder some nights when I'm feeling particularly malicious and sadistic, I often wonder, where are all those people at odd times who've predicted the end? Where are all those people who have asked us to go into bunkers with them, that have asked us to join them in some compound someplace, who've asked us to join them on an island someplace? Where are they? Where are all those guys that wrote those Y2K books? Well, I know where a lot of them are. They're still going on Art Bell's show every night after whatever to hell time. Good for you, Art. I'm Art Bell, and if you're one of those debunked prophets, one of those people who's full of crap, you're still welcome on our program. I love Art. The reason why I love him is he's full of crap and he knows it, and he digs it anyway. It's like, no, actually, I take that back. Art believes that some of the stuff is possible, so he's not full of crap. He's a genuine guy. He's the genuine article. And even if it is crap, he realizes, well, it's not really hurting anybody, so bingo. You know what I'm saying? Look, if the worst thing that ever happened, man, a bunch of cats off themselves down in San Diego wearing sneakers with bald heads and no nutsack, is that bad? These cats that you need, talk about nature weeding out the stupid. Get rid of them. Whatever you can do to push them over the edge, man, I appreciate that, okay? Let me see now. What do you got? It's a group of people. They live in a house. They have shaved heads. They wear purple with sneakers. And, okay, and their leader's name is Doe. That's right. Okay, how can we push them to the point where they kill themselves? Oh, and by the way, they all volunteered for castration. Yeah, that's okay. Yep, look like we got to get rid of them. Is Art talking about the living and the dead? Is that what he's doing now? He's talking about lifting the veil between death and life? Jesus, man. Anyway, so that's one of the great jobs that the guy does. But as I was saying, with all the earthquakes and all of this stuff that's going on, it's time now, man, and it's just not happening. And I think we have to do something to sort of further this along. You know, if the world is going to come to an end, let's just make this baby end, all right? And you guys ain't doing the job. Stand on a street corner with a bullhorn and a sign and going to get it done. And you, McVeigh, with that bomb there, Oklahoma City, talk about a wet fart, if you'll pardon the expression. For a guy wanting to start a revolution, sets off a bomb like that, everybody hates his living guts. It's not the way it was supposed to be. They were supposed to love him and start a revolution of some kind. You ever notice these people who put together these concepts and philosophies of revolution and they say all you need to do is light just a little spark and it's going to happen, and how wrong they are all the time? how absolutely wrong, how completely disconnected they are. And I was at lunch today with some friends of mine, and it suddenly came to all of us, and we were talking about it. Really, it is so true in America today, maybe more than ever before, a small minority of people control everything in this country. I'm not talking about the media. I'm not talking about the a small minority of business people. I'm not talking about some trilateral commission or some cabala of Jews. I'm talking about just a minority of nuts that call talk shows and write letters to newspapers. I'm talking about you screwballs, you wacky, screwy, goofy, cool people who think the whole thing's coming down any minute now, and you know, every one of you that ever bought a shovel for Y2K, you're the guys, you drive all the panic in this country. And like the stock market, this is the joke of all time. So the stock market went down, so what? Look at, man, it ain't the job of Alan Greenspan or anybody else so that these guys can get fat on the stock market. Stock market's going down tough. Chump change that invested in the first place, you guys should have known better. What it means is, it means that those guys, all those lightweights, all those feather merchants, all that cheap early power, all those guys are bailing out of the stock market because it doesn't look like it's the cash cow that it once was. Okay, so all the cheap early power, all of the lightweights, they're gone, man. So everybody really wants to put some money together and invest in the long-range future of America, they'll do that. That's what that means. It doesn't mean anything about the economy. It means nothing about the economy. It means you guys get scared and stop spending money. That's what it means. It doesn't mean anything. And what really bothers me and what irks me is what I was talking to Mike about during the break. It's not like there's no money out there. Every time we go into one of these economic downturns, you'd think that Fort Knox suddenly has no gold in it. All the money's dried up. It's just gone. What happened? I mean, a year ago, we were living fat, man. Now it's, oh, man, they're laying, everybody's getting laid off. I mean, there's just no, what do you mean there's no money? I mean, there's no money. How do you mean there's no money, man? In other words, what you're telling me is Teledyne isn't going to make $1 billion this year. They're only going to make $700 million. I mean, that's pretty bad. What's bad about that? So, in other words, an economic downturn is defined by some guy at the corporate level deciding they're going to make as much money as he thought they should or would or could or who knows how bright he is. Some guy that might have fallen out of a tree when he was 11. Some guy that might have been hit by a good humor truck when he was riding his bike across the street. This is the guy figuring out how much money they're going to make this year, and they're off in their estimates, and therefore people lose jobs, Wall Street goes in the toilet, and we're only making $700 million instead of $1 billion. Do you understand the insanity of that? And you guys get caught up in that and let yourselves get crazy about that, and start, squeezing a nickel and start, you know, well, we better save our money because, yeah, it looks really bad. You got to be put. You should go out and spend money now. Spend more. My wife and I were going out to dinner tonight to P.F. Chang's. I realize that's not spending more, but I'm taking her to dinner. Jeez. People make me sick. I hate all of you. You know I'm joking.
I'm just kidding. I'm only kidding. You're all just wonderful.
You're all bright. You're all brain surgeons. You're rocking and rolling, man. Go ahead. Squeeze that nickel, baby. Keep that money in your purse. Don't be spending any money. Let's all get panicky together. Let's all freak out, flip out. Hey, I got it. When you get to work tomorrow, fire a few people. That's it. Join the ever-growing group of people in America today, firing everybody, laying people off. 10 years ago was the same damn thing, man. And those dumbasses that run the car industry, you know, I don't know what's going on with every 10 years, Detroit goes through this thing where they forgot how to make a car. They forgot how to make money with a car. Can I be honest with you? Can I ask a question that I think is a question worth asking? What's the one thing that everybody either has or has got to have in America today? Ain't it a car? How in living hell can Detroit be losing any money? As a matter of fact, how is it that Detroit can't be doing anything other than making all the money that ever was? How is it that you do? Don't talk to me about trade unions. You can make all the money you want to make because it's called a car. People drive them. They get in a car, they drive it. I don't know. I'm in a bad business. What business are you in? I make cars. What? Yeah, it's... All right, hold it. Back up. You hurt. I'm hurting bad. It's crap. Crap business. Jesus, I got to get out. I got to do something. I make money. Wait a minute. You make cars. Yeah, that's right. I do. And you sell. Yeah, I sell them. I have. There's everywhere I go down the freeway. Well, I understand. I can't get home because of cars. I could walk home faster if there weren't any freaking cars out there. And you're telling me that you're in a bad business? You make cars? Yeah, it's terrible. I'm on my ass. Yeah, all right. What other business these guys talk about? It's like losing money owning a liquor store. I mean, it's just, how do you do that? Who are you guys kidding, man? You know, as we progress to the 21st century, I might have been born at night, baby, but it wasn't last night, all right? This is one guy here, Phil Henry, you ain't got nothing on me. Although I must tell you, the last time I bought a new car, I can't tell you. Everybody's leasing now, all right? And by the way, that Volkswagen, it's looking good, Craig. I got a $1,500 Volkswagen in my driveway. I'm getting this thing fixed up. It's going to be sweet. So that when the economic downturn really takes a hold and there ain't nobody driving no cars anymore, I'll be in my Volkswagen without the brakes. No, I'll have the brakes fixed by then. All right, 1-800-449-8686. What a bad, lousy, crappy business to be in, selling booze and cars and sex. What do you do for a living, man? I'm a pimp. Business bad? Oh, yeah. Well, of course it's bad. Why? Well, who wants to get laid? What? Look at, man, cars, booze, and broad. Nobody wants to buy. Why would you ask me that question? I would think that sex would sell. No, of course it doesn't. I can't do it. I can't. Look at this girl. She's, you know, a double D, 44. I couldn't give her away. Would you want her? Yeah, I'll think about it. Gay. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. Henry Show, our number 1-800-449-8686. What that means is we give the number out. If we get an interesting call, we put it up on the air. But ordinarily, you're not allowed to talk to me except for a couple of times a week. We did it on Monday. We'll do it again on Friday, and that's when we have You're Allowed to Call Phil Hour. And again, that will be on Friday. We'll remind you 111. And if it sounds like we're arrogant when we say that, well, a little bit. $111,180. It's not that we don't love you. It's just that we have to find a context in which we make people who call talk shows interesting. And we're always looking for new and different ways to do that. Because as you know, if you listen to any other talk radio, and I don't mean any other talk radio, but if you listen to certain select talk shows, they blow. $111,180.50 raised for my friend's place through the sale of the number one rated Phil Henry Show Best of 2000 album. And I got to say something. A lady sent me a book. I can't remember her name, and I will mention her name when I go home and I look at the author of the book that I got. And it's about the Hollywood Walk of Fame. And it's really a interesting book. I was reading this, it's like I read this thing for relaxation. It's one of those toilet tank books that you have on the back of the toilet, and you just, you know, okay, I can check this out because I've, you know, it'll relax me. I don't know. It's not hard reading, if you pardon me for using the term hard, but it's not in any event. So I'm reading this book, and the first thing that came to my mind was, please, please, God, don't ever, ever let anybody propose in the way, way, way out, I mean, extreme chance that anybody would propose my name for a star on the Walk of Fame. Just don't do it. Don't look at me, Schaefer, with the look on your kisser like, why? What an honor. Here's why, and let me just say this. George C. Scott doesn't have a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. J. Thomas does. Okay, you know, I mean, do I need to... I looked at it. Suddenly I thought it was... It's a great book. And thank you for sending me the book, because when you read this thing, you realize the James Whale, the director of Frankenstein. Don't you think that that guy, the subject of Gods and Monsters, the movie, don't you think that guy ought to have a star in a Hollywood Walk of Fame? He don't have no star in a Hollywood Walk of Fame. But Bob Seger and the Silver Bullet Band do? I wanted to cry. I want to find Bob Seger's star on Hollywood Boulevard, and I want to urinate on it. Not that I would do, but that was my instinct. You see what it did to me? A civilized man like that, I want to go down there, and I want to, like, drink real fast, six tall boys, and just wait for it to happen, and just shower him with my love. What a freaking waste. What a disgrace. See, let me just, can I be honest with you? I can't stand that guy's band. I always hated Bob Seger. I had to play that garbage when I was in AOR Radio. He did one good song, Ramblin' Gamblin' Man, and the rest of it sucked on wheels, and I don't care who knows it. Jive-ass, funky, sweaty, Midwest, hunky, freaky, funky, bullcrap, jive, no-count mother with his let's sweat a lot because we're from the Midwest, rock and roll, you blow. By the way, I just named all the Seven Dwarfs. Hunky, funky, jive-ass, greasy. See, you know, they're all members of the Snow White's entourage. Anyway, make a long story short, I didn't want this to be a diatribe against Bob Seger. But why not? Any opportunity we have to do that, we'd love to take it. But you see what I'm saying? How can George C. Scott not be on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, but that kind of jive-ass stuff is? So I looked at it and I thought, you know what? This is sad. It's sad to get a star in a Walk of Fame. Sad. It's, and you look at the eager faces. They're all smiling and they're all excited like it's a real big deal. Anyway, that was the thing. So when you come to Hollywood, you visit the Walk of Fame, you walk up and down the street, you look at all those stars, you're looking at names, you don't recognize any of the names, you're not alone. Because none of us do either. Bob, Bob Seger. Nobody else gets it either, man. All right, now, Michael Heisley, who's the owner of the financially troubled Vancouver Grizzlies, brought his tour of potential relocation sites to Anaheim, California on Tuesday, yesterday. Boy, that's going to be great. That's going to be great. Isn't that exciting, the idea that we'll have another basketball team in the L.A. market that can't win and no football? Perfect. Somebody had asked me 20 years ago, the sports scene in L.A. in 20 years, what would you like to see? Well, naturally, wouldn't everybody want to see no football and three pro basketball teams, two of which can't bust 300? Yeah. All right. Exactly what we need, exactly what we want. This is the sports apathy of this town has brought us to this point with some jive, hunky, funky, jive-ass mother, all them Seven Dwarf names, is bringing his Grizzlies down here. And don't you change the name. When you bring them down here, you keep the name. I want it the Anaheim Grizzlies. Don't come down here and try changing the name to the Stars or the Palm Trees or some other kind of L.A. name. No, the Grizzlies. Don't even call them Anaheim. Call them the California Grizzlies. That'll guarantee a bomb. Three basketball, two baseball, two hockey, no freaking football. Beautiful. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. I don't have any. I guess because I come from Los Angeles, I don't believe I have any proprietary, control. I don't think that I should have any more influence than anybody else. It's just that when I walk down, what's the last time I walked down Hollywood Boulevard? I can't remember. It's got to be 10 years since I walked down Hollywood Boulevard. But if I'm walking down there, if I'm a guy from anywhere, I want to see movie stars. You know what I'm saying? I want to see the names of movie stars on the street. I don't want to see Jay Thomas's name, and I don't want to see Bob Seger's name. And what are these other things that I got here? Now, I got the streets by name. You know, I Elton John? In other words, people have made their living in Los Angeles. That would be a nice thing. These are the people that got names on Hollywood Boulevard. Wesley Snipes, do you think that cat deserves to have a star? Don't you think he ought to croak before he gets a star? And Sonny and Cher, okay, maybe because they had the TV show. David Hasselhoff? It just seems to me, huh? Pat Sajak, nothing against these guys, but I'm looking at like Clark Gable, Paul Newman, heavy hitters, baby. Look, radio's fun. TV, maybe it's a little more fun. Movies is heavy. That's heavy. That's international. That's when you know, like Prince Rainier asked a movie star to marry him. He ain't going to be asking no disc jockey. Oh, wait a minute. I should be. That part of the world, those guys are wiggy. Didn't the cat that runs Jordan, didn't he ask a Disneyland tour guide to marry him? So I take it back. But anyway, you know what I'm talking. I mean, the movies is big. Look at this. Mary Tyler Moore. I guess, okay. The Beatles. Luis Miguel? Who's he? He sings? You walk down that street and you want to see some real legends, and you don't want to be looking down there and seeing some name like Mary Hart. You got to be putting me on. I won't do it, and you know what? You guys can laugh, and I don't mind if you do. You say, well, Henry, you're a pile of crap. Who's ever going to want to give you a star? Nobody. But in the off chance that it ever happens, in the off chance, I'm going to turn it down. I'm going to say I don't want it. I'm going to say jam it. And Johnny Grant and Bill Welsh, if he's still alive, if Johnny's still alive, they can all cry and go home. I don't want one. I ain't going to be on no street. No offense against Mary. Fine individual, human being, great legs. You know what? Neither she nor I belong on that stinking street. Wait till they give one to Art Bell. What if they give one to Art? And Hollywood Boulevard. I mean, it's just, it's liable to happen, okay? Now, getting back to, but Mike, you made a good point. It ought to be people who at least made their living in L.A., like Van Halen. They deserve a star. Bob Seger. Why? Because he did that song, Hollywood Nights? I want to get to the next page. How do I do that, Melissa? See a map, Vine Street. I don't know. I'll find another page, and I'm sure I'll drive Eve. Well, here are the... They give you, on this website, they give you an opportunity to look at the different streets and stuff, but who needs to get that sick? Okay, so getting back to the Grizzlies moving to Anaheim, which is a really great idea, and those of you who don't have season seats, and I know there are many of you who don't have season seats for the Clippers, don't wait. The Grizzlies are coming to the pond. Yay! Can't wait for that. Five more clowns who want too much money and can't play ball. And even if they're going to win an NBA title, well, they don't get along with each other. What happened to the days when only white men played that game, huh? I'm joking. You can't give that much money to a young kid out of the ghetto. In any event, that's what we need. And that way I can drive all the way down to Anaheim now and see basketball. As it is where I live, there is absolutely nothing. I can go out and see like California Hockey League bullcrap out in Simi Valley. And watch Disney make a movie out of the Grizzlies, too. Boy, there's a company that couldn't find it with both hands. Do you love Disney or what? And by the way, that's another company that actively censored me. When the local station in Los Angeles, when KFI was under different ownership, the management had an agreement with the Disney people down in Anaheim that if Phil ever opened his mouth again about Disney, that we'd let them know first. Are you ready for that? Now, look, I ain't saying that I'm any big wind. I could say anything. I could say the Beatles are getting back together, and I've got proof, and we wouldn't get one person buying tickets. I know the power that I have. I know the influence that I have. It doesn't amount to a hill of crap. I know I'm just a maggot crawling on a crap heap. I'm nothing. I'm a piece of crap. You want my autograph? Oh, okay, hold on. You're welcome. I just am nothing. But the fact of the matter remains, how much of a big win could I be when these guys are getting uptight? So anyway, when the station got sold under new management, they ain't got any such deal with Disney. So guess what? I get to say what I want about Disney. And you know what? I love Disneyland. Michael Eisner, though, just stick to the parks, stick to the movies, get out of baseball and get out of hockey and just get out of here, will you? You and all of your Disney creeps. And by the way, quit staying at that really cool suite at the Floridian down in Orlando, man. I want that one. No, you're all right, man. I like the park. The kids love going there. We're going on a cruise. Oh, my God, I had to mention that we're doing the Disney cruise. That means they'll probably put me down in the brig. Oh, Mr. Hendry, is it? Yeah. Let me just see. Yeah, I have a reservation for me and my four kids and my wife. Uh-huh. And it's, oh, really? Well, we seem to have misplaced it. Now, listen, you filth. I'll pull her across the table if that happens. No, I take that back. Let my wife do it. But anyway, Disney with that Ducks and those Angels, and oh, man, just bug out. Get out of the baseball business. Get out of the hockey business. And please, dear Jesus, don't go into the basketball business. As a matter of fact, whoever this guy is, this Michael Heisley guy, bringing his team down to Anaheim, just don't bother, dude, okay? Because we got earthquakes down here, too. The Grizzlies. And they're going to come down here and try to change their name to something cool and have, you know, like the California Sperm or, I don't know, something really awesome, you know. The L.A. Groove, man. How about that for a name of a team? The L.A. Groove. He'll call it that, and he'll play at the Pond, and it'll, you know, people will line up, and everybody's going to want to sit on the floor because they want to be Jack Nicholson, or they want to be some measure of Jack, some permutation of Jack Nicholson. Even if they could just be Don Johnson at a Miami Heat game. They just Billy Crystal at a Clipper game. They want to be that. So we got three basketball teams, two baseball teams, two hockey teams. And we ain't got even a whiff of football around here. And don't you love that XFL? Yeah! Rocking and rolling, baby. I'm going to tell you something. Next time you guys want to play it cozy and cute and you think your stuff doesn't smell and you ain't going to lay some free season seats on me, because I could have given you guys some big-time pub. We could have got some people out there. We could have really done some promotional stuff. You guys should have bought time on my show, you freaking losers. Now you get what you... Though you sow the whirlwind, you reap it. You guys are going to have to suck on this one. They had 3 million people watching their rotten brand of football. Let me explain something to you guys in case you haven't figured it out yet. People want to see football, number one. They want to see ass. They want to see broads. They want to see it. You know, WWF, they do a good job of that. But Solid Gold's right down the street. You know, Jumbo's Clown Room, man, they do a pretty decent job of that. So somewhere along the line, you guys got to work a little football into it. That's all I'm saying. You can have some guy jumping around on the field wearing a 10-gallon hat that looks like it came off of a freaking oil rig. That's all fine. But you got to throw some football in. You got to mix in a little bit. Got to mix in a little entertainment. All those hard hits, all that stuff, that's a gas. But you guys got to make it work, all right? So you guys played it like every other sports league. You guys think because you're in football, because you got a ball club, that, you know, everybody's going to come running to you, flocking to you, and looking for the good thing, the sweet thing. So what happened was, I didn't get my free season tickets. You guys don't get talked about in any grand floral manners. I won't come on the air and lie about you, how great it is, what a great time it is to bring the family out there. Because the point of fact, the families ain't going out there. Number one, it's raining. Number two, you suck. Put those two together, you ain't got much of a product. XFL. You love that? And then we got a letter. Dear season ticket holder, we can assure you that the untoward behavior that took place, I swear to God, the Extreme mailed this out. They mailed a letter to all the I got one. I have to assume that other season ticket holders got it. Dear, season ticket holder, we assure you that the behavior that was present, well, what happened was they had two women who were naked in a hot tub in the end zone. You know, look at, think. You know, man, I'm all grown up. You know, it's not like I haven't been in the company of women before in my life. And even like I haven't been into a pink lady's lounge on a good night when she's singing "You Can Leave Your Hat On, But Take the Rest Off." I mean, I'm an all grown up guy. I know what it's all about. Do I got to have my, you know, can't I be the guy to decide when my kid is going to see bare ass? Would you mind? Or are you guys, now the LA Extreme's deciding that for me, okay? So no wonder people were upset. So some guy, you know, hires two women to be in the tub nude, and, like, that's cool? Guess what, man? Nobody wants to go to your football games. Now, you couple that with the fact that your team stinks, and with the fact there's been a lot of rain, you guys got a major, major PR push. You got a major job, a big mountain to climb in terms of convincing people that you got something going on. So I'm going to give you one final opportunity to mail me 4 free season tickets. So I'll talk about your product on the air like it's something worth seeing, not like it's the pile of refuse that it is right now, not like it's the big 800-mile-high pile of stank that it is. Just mail me your tickets, and we'll see what we can do for you, okay? Or do you want to just be another L.A. Express? You know, nice seeing you, nice knowing you, goodbye. Boy, that Coliseum sure looks lonely and empty, man, when you only got 8,000 people in it. That's a big ballpark, isn't it? And when only 5 guys show up, man, it's like, How you doing? Why even have a radio announcer do the game when you could just holler it down from the booth? Okay, third down, and they got 3 million fans watching that pile of crap this past weekend, down from 15 million opening weekend. They think they can fix it. Yeah, well, here's how you fix it. Blow it up and start all over again, like in September. Another thing you're going to have to do is put some jack into it sooner or later, man. You're going to have to get some guys that know how to play football. And another thing, get out of my face. Get it off of prime time. Put it on an afternoon. Put it back on TNN. Get it on the Discovery Channel. How about a little Nashville network? Let's go, baby. Go. Get out of here with NBC. Dick Ebersol, you know, your mama. All of that. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show. I'm Phil Henry. $111,000 made with the sale of the number one rated Phil Henry Show Best of 2000 album and CD. If you'd like a copy, and all the money goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood, 877-616-7445, 877-616-PHIL. Here are some people. What we'd like to do is start a campaign to have some of the stars on the Walk of Fame dug up. Can we just... Just tell me, why is it that Lisa Gibbons has one over there? And she's a nice lady, but what? Mac Davis? I don't know. Who? Siegfried and Roy. Yeah, they work in L.A. a lot. Those guys haven't left Vegas in thousands of years. The Lions get to L.A. quicker than they do, man. The Tigers are working here. And then, of course, the legendary Kenny G has got a star on the Hollywood freaking thing. Jimi Hendrix doesn't have a star in the water. Oh, I see. He was black. What if his name was Scatman Hendrix?
My comment is this guy's trying to
my
kill.
My name's Doug Danger.
He's you're trying to kill. You're trying to kill the guy you obviously respect.
Oh,
if
I am.
Listen to me. If he's trying to get help, he should stop using drugs. You're saying he's got the right to use drugs.
The guy's carrying a whole TV show. He's carrying a whole TV show.
It doesn't matter. What do you know? What the hell does this have
to do with it? I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
That doesn't have nothing to do with anything. He's funny. I'm a person who tried stopping using drugs. And you're telling me if I can use drugs if I want, that's fine.
No, I didn't say you could. I said I understand if Matthew Perry does.
Well, then he's no different from anybody else.
He's carrying a whole TV show in fact.
You made another comment about equating him to the Pope. You said he's like the Pope?
Matthew Perry, he is a generational spokesman, yeah.
What?
He's a spokesman for the generation. He's a leader.
He is not a leader like the Pope. You're a far-off face about everything. You have no clue. And being gay doesn't have anything. You don't know nothing more about being gay.
I don't have the filter on that you straight people have on, okay? I got the blinders on.
There's no filter.
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and I don't have any blinders on. I can see the Matthew
Perry. You're stupid. You're telling him he would kill himself.
No, I didn't say that. What I'm saying is I understand if he wants to go ahead and mess around with Vicodin because he's got to work with Courtney Cox. Let me tell you something. As a gay man, as a gay journalist working with that screaming bitch,
you're way out of line.
Being a gay man has nothing to do with this whole topic. Why do you keep bringing up that you're a gay man, gay
because
journalist?
Because
that has nothing to do with nothing.
I'm a gay man, all right?
That has nothing to do with nothing.
And Jesus carried the weight of the world. Matthew carries the weight of a generation. They both, I would even understand if Jesus Christ did drugs, but of course he didn't. And I would have said,
you better keep the religion out of this. This guy has nothing to do with drugs.
Let me ask you something. If you're carrying the weight of the world on your shoulders, don't you think a guy is entitled to maybe do some crack or whatever you want to call it?
Absolutely not. If a person's a drug addict and uses drugs, he's going to die. Is that what you want him to do, die?
No, I certainly do not. I think Matthew Perry is a spokesman.
That's right. You're giving him a death sentence.
But
if he were to listen to you, being a gay man, gay journalist, he'd die.
No, but I am saying I'm not going to stand in judgment over a guy who's got to work with, who's got to walk in and take a look at Lisa Kudrow every day and actually keep a straight face.
That's because you're gay.
I am a gay man and a gay journalist. Yeah, so that means that
it would be fun to be looking at those girls. If I was looking at those girls, it would be
fun.
I wouldn't have to do drugs.
Wait a minute. You can keep a straight face looking at Lisa Kudrow's screwed up kisser. Man.
What do you mean screwed up kisser? She's a pretty girl. She's a beautiful girl.
With that whole flared nostril thing.
Yeah,
what flared nostril?
Let's get back to the topic.
Well,
the topic is, if he were to listen to you...
Okay, let me jump in. This is Phil Henry. I got to jump in. Hold on. Hold on. I got
to
jump in. All right. Doug, you're basically saying... That,
by the way, you can only take smelly cats so many times before you want to just run scripts.
Okay, I got it, all right? But you're basically saying that you understand if this guy, Matt Perry, wants to keep doing drugs because he's carrying the weight of a generation and a TV series on his shoulders.
Let me ask you something, Phil. If you were
Isn't that what you're saying?
If you were the lead character...
He makes no sense. Is he some type of spokesman or something? He makes no sense whatsoever.
If you were the lead... If you say you're the lead character on Survivor, Phil, wouldn't you want to shoot heroin?
If I were the lead character in what?
On Survivor.
Hey, Phil, this guy makes no sense whatsoever. Why is he on your show?
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, okay?
You're a stupid journalist is what you are.
Okay, well, you don't understand where I'm coming from.
I have no idea where you're coming from.
You're the guy that...
You're all over the board, number one.
No, I'm not over
And
that.
What do you have to do with Matt Perry anyway?
Matthew Perry is the leader of a generation of people who are going to rise up against people like you and Mr. Henry.
Oh, come on.
And the other thing that you're telling me is, wouldn't I shoot heroin if I was on Survivor?
That's right.
Why?
That makes no sense, Phil.
The hell are you talking about? If I was on Survivor, first of all, what would I have to do? Swim across a freaking lagoon to get heroin? Hey, what's that, a challenge? Is that an immunity challenge?
You know what? I think both of you guys are homophobic. And I've
I'm not homophobic.
No, here he goes now with the homophobic.
No, I'm not homophobic. You like Lisa Kudrow.
What's that?
I do like the actresses better than the actor.
I don't understand what he said.
He likes Lisa Kudrow's flared nostrils, okay? And the fact that you say that we're homophobic...
Both you guys have been dumping on me since they came on the line because I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and I think Matthew Perry...
I'm using a gay man and gay journalist. I haven't done anything with anything.
Are you gay?
Am I gay? No, I'm not gay.
Then what do you know about it?
Do I know about it?
You know that I'm gay.
I know they just have preference for other men.
Look, you know I'm gay, right?
Huh?
You know I'm gay, right?
I never heard of you before tonight. Who are you?
I'm gay. I'm Doug Dam, a gay man and a gay journalist.
Jesus.
Well, how many times are you going to say that?
Phil